Hello, welcome to the catch up. You are in for a treat. A really great show today.
Well, you'd say that, and you'd be right, because we heard about creeps on internet dating sites. That was pretty interesting. Bit of Brett Lee, and just in time for the first test, guys.
Oh, also, what about the best and worst things that have happened, like medical emergencies?
Oh, that was amazing.
Actually, there weren't any bests. They were all just shocking.
It was a great show. We learned about how to buy ice really cheaply and easily. We learned about Tesla. We covered a bit of ground.
Yeah. Really excelled today. Came into our own, I thought.
Well,
and of course, triplem.com.au to vote for Best of Brisbane. It is fish and chips this week. Less than 24 hours to vote for it, so get voting. We'll catch you tomorrow from 5:30.
This Marto, Ed and Robin catch-up is brought to you by the unbreakable Toyota Hilux SR5 with satellite navigation and 3.5-tonne towing and trailer sway control. Search Toyota Value.
Put this one under... under medical nightmares, under medical stuff gone wrong. And I'm interested to see if other people have had, if you've had a medical disaster, if something's gone wrong inside the medical world for you, 133353, here's mine.
Oh, my God, what, you want people ringing up? Oh, they took off my left leg and I asked for the right one to go.
That's actually happened, not for the person, but it'd be great to hear.
You'd have a prize for somebody running around with the wrong leg.
If you've lost both legs, yes.
Okay, Ed, what happened?
My wife insisted, I was a bit tired from this job and other, various other things, and she's like, come on then, we're going to get a booster. And I was like, what do you mean we're getting a booster?
What's a booster?
Boost juice? She said, no. Yeah. And we went to a place that does, and I'm not going to name them, but we went to a place that does vitamin B injections.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Are they good for you? They go all right, do they?
My wife has had them in the past. She's very healthy and she likes it. She always says that it gives me more energy. So we went in there.
Just
and
like that.
Fix that voice up.
And she sits me down, Robin. She's like, you're going to love this, blah, blah. I said, okay, fine, whatever. So I roll up my sleeve and the nurse comes in and she's got this big syringe. And I don't love needles. I'm not one of these people that absolutely freaks out about them, but I don't love them, right?
Can you watch it? Can you watch a needle going in?
I prefer not to.
No, I
can't.
So I said,
can
you chuck some Peppa Pig on?
Okay.
So she puts the needle in, but as she's putting the needle in, I think she's perhaps... recognize my wife or something in her brain's twigged about my wife.
Well, of course, because she was on Biggest Loser. Like, Tiff is gorgeous.
Hold on, she's no one now. She's standing next to Mr. Toyota, let's not forget.
Anyway, so something was distracting her with Tiff.
Yeah, and so she's sort of not looking at me. She puts the needle in and it just snapped off.
Yeah!
What, in your arm?
Yeah, it snapped clean off. And the stuff that was the vitamin B solution or whatever it is, just flies everywhere all over the room and it's orange. It just goes everywhere. And I'm sitting there and there's a needle in my arm and there's nothing attached to it.
What?
And I was like, I looked down and I was like, hey. And she's like, oh my God, what did you do? And I said, I didn't do anything.
A bit of blame shifting early.
What did you do? You moved.
And I said, well, I just sat here.
Presented
my
arm.
No, you moved. You did something. See? I said, I didn't move. I didn't do anything. And could you get that out of my arm, please?
How do they get it out? Pair of pliers?
She just yanked it out. No,
oh,
she
fingers.
Yanked it out.
Now, I'm not a doctor, Ed, but that doesn't sound good.
I said to Tiff, is this what always happens?
No way. That'll give you a boost.
But, fear of needles is like in the top three fears. Trypanophobia is what it's called.
Well, I got a fear of needles. I hate seeing them. I hate watching them go in. I used to hate getting eyebrows stitched up because you'd have to, or your nose stitched up because you'd have to watch the needle come straight at you.
Did you move a lot? You have a lot of scarring on your face, Marto. I'm imagining they didn't stitch.
Yeah, it was horrible. I hate needles.
Who's had a medical mishap? David from Bracken Ridge. I'm David. What happened, mate?
Hello.
Yeah. Hello, mate. What happened?
This wasn't for me. This was a mate of mine. So I'd been and had a vasectomy. Everything went well, and he was keen to go up too because he'd had enough of producing kids. He went on in and I'd given him the good news that, a couple of days, you're right.
Oh, you're
And lying. Then after he'd had the procedure, about 3 days later, he rang me up and said, Dave, I'm getting worse. I can't walk. Oh. And I said, oh, mate, go back and see the doctor. And what happened was there's a 1 in 200 chance, apparently, that when they're sewing you back together... that they catch a nerve.
Yeah.
Oh, no. It's like getting kicked in the ghoulies every second of the day.
That's correct. And so, but the worst part was removing the stitches. He was told it would be, I guess, a pain level equivalent to childbirth.
Oh.
And but to make it even better, he made the mistake of taking his kids to the appointment with him. So they're in the waiting room.
What?
And he's letting go with these blood-curdling screams,
he said, in the
doctor's room, getting the stitches removed.
All right, that counts. He's winning.
Is he all right now?
Oh, who cares?
Oh, he's okay now, yeah. And look, yeah, 100% successful. He can't have kids at the moment, so that's the good news.
Is that because of the nerves or is that because of the mastectomy?
I like the Richter scale that David used. Everything's compared to, like, a big earthquake is childbirth.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I like the irony of him feeling childbirth pain while getting a vasectomy.
That's true.
What is your medical mishap?
Alex from Mount Warren Park, what happened?
Well, I've only been sick once in my life and I was taken by ambulance with pneumonia to a local hospital, and they put me instantly on a drip because I was vomiting so much. And I sort of passed out, as you are when you're really, really sick. And when I woke up, I noticed this enormous thing next to me, and it was my arm. They had put the needle into my skin and not into my vein.
And, holy.
Yeah, and you can't. I couldn't even describe what happens when they do that.
You're like,
I'm 50 kilos and I'm 5'2", but I had an arm the size of Mel Meninga's inner thigh. So,
what did they do to get it out?
In their defence, they'd had a really major accident, so there was like 8 people coming into the emergency. So the doctor just came by and he's like, "Oh no, that happens, and we can fix this." But it's amazing how big your arm can get when they still have that solid.
Wow. Yeah. What did they do? They just hit it with a needle and just go, did you squeeze it out?
No, it just goes back into your system. Like, I was really sick, so I really can't actually remember how the hell, but I actually got myself out of that hospital that night because I thought they were going to kill me. I was actually thinking, I'm just going to discharge myself, and I got in a taxi and caught got home. So, yeah, I've never been back to that hospital.
Thank you, Alex.
That's awful, because you would get to a certain point where it becomes like a membrane and a
blister.
Pop.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Dean is from Forest Lakes. Now, Dean, oh no, another vasectomy story. What happened, Dean?
Okay, well, when I went in, obviously, they do one side at a time. The first side hurt like crazy. Blood-curdling screams, like that other guy was saying.
What, just the operation?
This is just dust of vasectomy. Like, you know, I could feel the cut, I could feel them pulling on the tube.
Okay.
Guys will understand this. Anyway, and the right-hand side, so they do that, and I'm got a... The right-hand side, I'm lying there, and I'm like, okay, have you done yet? And they went, yeah, it's all finished. And I went, what the hell? What was that? And what it worked out is that the first side, the anaesthetic, he didn't put it in properly. So I've had a vasectomy with no anaesthetic.
All right, Dean, you're a hero.
Might as well done it with your teeth.
Oh, Dean, that's like getting one in the war. That's unbelievable. Oh. Okay, thank you, Dean.
So Cara, I reckon she got one as well. What happened, Cara, from Holland Park?
I had to have a needle in my eyeball.
No, you didn't. Why?
Yes, I did.
Why?
What, for anaesthetic or something?
Well, yeah, he numbed my eye. So I'd had corneal surgery, so I had a corneal graft, and part of my iris had stuck to the front of my eye. So he had to separate that, and to stop it from bleeding, he had to, the day after surgery, I was awake, sitting in the chair, put your chin on here, look straight ahead. No, okay, don't move.
Don't blink.
And so, Marto, you were saying about, you know, stitches in your nose.
Yeah,
the I had needle. To look at the needle coming towards
at your eyeball.
My eye. Yep, and he injected stuff into my eyeball.
That actually almost makes me feel like throwing up.
Mm. That's my limit. I, you know how people say, where's your line? That's my line. I know where it is. I've had 2 kids. That was, needle in the eye.
You win, Cara.
Give us something, please. Hands down, babe. You are the girl. What have we got?
You need a laugh after that, Cara. So we're going to go to Merrick Watts, Man of the Hour, solo stand-up to Brisbane City Hall, briscomfest.com. Well done, Cara.
Yes, I love Miz. Thank you, guys.
Good one. Cara, how would it go if we ran a phone topic tomorrow? What's hurt more than childbirth? How do you reckon that'd go?
Oh, look, a needle in the eye. I came home curled up in a ball and slept for 3 hours.
I reckon.
I think I went into shock. So,
Robin?
Yes, my sister-in-law used to say, I'd rather have a needle in the eye. You know how you go, I wouldn't want to.
Yeah,
no, you wouldn't.
No, you don't. I'm actually quite keen to have women who've done something worse than natural childbirth.
Marto, Ed and Robin, the new Triple M.
Channel 9 have got a new investigative reporter, I think. They're starting to dig a little bit deeper into some stories, and they've decided to have a go at ICE on the Channel 9 news, like during the news. And they've got one of our favourites, Tim Arbia. Now, Robin, he's an old friend of Ed and mine, and I used to coach him in footy. He was a wonderful winger, but he was the bloke on A Current Affair, used to chase a lot of people.
Oh, so he was fast.
Tim Arbia, meet Robin.
Hey, Tim.
Good morning, Robin. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. This story on ICE is really scary. How long did it take you to get ICE online?
Probably about 5 minutes. You know, there are websites around and they advertise ICE, and the way they advertise it is like any online classified. They advertise it like it's an online car. All the dealers put it out there and say this is why my ICE is the best, and what? This is all this sort of jazz. And you know, in the old days, you'd be required to ring the dealer and ring them up. But what they do these days is they use secure apps, which makes it a lot harder for the police to track, which is why they're able to advertise a lot more freely and a lot more brazenly on the internet. So there's no hiding it. It's just out there.
How did you get in there? Like, did you tell them you're a reporter, or did you say I'm a potential new client?
No, so this is the thing. I just, you follow their steps and you use one of these apps to speak to them, and then you have a conversation. You've got no idea who is on the other end of the line. They say they're the drug dealer and they tell you how they're going to supply the drugs and how, and we discuss the meetup. But at the same time, what's interesting is that they don't know who I am either. You know, I could be a 10-year-old school kid. I could be anyone. They don't know. They are just that desperate to sell you the drugs. The idea that they're going to have a new customer spurs them along even more. They offer you discounts. They offer you all sorts of extras. It's like a hard sell, from a dodgy salesperson.
Yeah. Hey, so with dodgy salespeople, you've dealt with many a time in your previous incarnations as a reporter. But you said there's a lot more to the story that made it to air. The bit that I was shocked about was there's a Honda Accord that's going to show up and deliver it like it's a pizza. It's outrageous.
Yeah, so when you have a discussion with the dealer and you agree on your price, then they say, right, you agree where you're going to meet, and then they say, this is how it's going to go down. You know, we're going to send a guy in a black Honda Accord he'll be wearing a white polo shirt and a ponytail, and he's going to have the drugs. So you can either get in his car or he'll come out and meet you out. Quite often, they don't want cash. They want, say, like iTunes vouchers, which then they can go and refund.
What?
I think that the reason for that is because they're worried about marked bills and the police being able to track them. So, and they're worried about it, the thing. So especially on the first time, they're quite sus. But then they say, once you're a regular, we'll give you this, we'll give you that. We can do cash, we can have the meetings here. You know, it's all about they're trying to establish a trust. But well, what's scary about it is just how much the price has dropped. As the Crime Commission data has shown, it's more than halved because they're getting cheap imports now from Asia. And the fact that they're able to meet up with people like this means it's just so much more accessible. It's so much easier for them to hook people. And as shown, I don't really care who they get, whether it be school kids, old people, unemployed, it doesn't matter.
I see you were saying 1 gram was $300 with 10 hits. How many hits a day does an addict take?
Well, it depends. You know, your first time user, from what I understand and what I'm told by people who work in the rehabilitation centres, is that, it might start off by one or two. It can quickly go up from there. It depends on the person, depends on the purity of the drug, depends on how often they take it. There's a lot of different factors in how much drug someone can take. It's like, do you drink 3 beers in a session or 30 beers if you're an alcoholic, It's
okay, this is blowing my mind. I do not understand how you didn't use anything special. You just got on as a guy, and yes, you were doing it on behalf of Channel 9, but you just got on and were able to do this. Like, if you're able to do that, how come the police haven't shut it down?
Well, the police, I would say, are doing these things, and that's why you see the dealers are very wary at the start and try to, say, get iTunes vouchers or do these sorts of things. But, again, the police can do it, and I'm told that they do it from time to time. Sure. The problem is they shut one person down and more to spring up. You can do, it's quite intensive having to do these things. And the other factor is you don't get the big guy when you do
of
this.
You get the low level runner.
But you get the 16-year-old boy or girl who potentially thinks that this is a good idea because they don't have enough money for a car. It just makes me wild because you just think this is how our kids get addicted to this sort of stuff.
Mm. Exactly. And they can get addicted for, you know, $20. That's all it takes.
No.
And
easier and cheaper than alcohol. The problem is our government has taxed alcohol so heavily that the kids now are drugs is cheaper to get into.
Yeah, but how many of us know actually what our children are doing online anyway?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, this could all go down and no parent would have any idea. And, I mean, it's just, it's gobsmacking. What are they doing about it?
Yeah, that's a huge problem, Robin.
Tim, you know.
We should round up every black Honda Accord driver for starters.
I want a solution and there isn't one, but my God.
Be aware and talk about it, and that is the solution. Yeah. Mate, it's good work. Is that what Channel 9 are getting you to do a few deeper stories?
Yeah, even we're having a look at a few different issues around, and we tackle different things. You know, there's the news goes for an hour these days, and there's plenty of time for the daily news end at the back end. We often like to do some stories looking at,
Tim Arvia, the latest in the news taco.
Tim Arvia from Channel 9 News Brisbane. Yes, see Channel 9 News tonight. Just one thing, mate. If they say that there's a story in Lebanon with Tara Brown, don't take it, mate. Yeah. Just don't go over it. That's the last thing you want. See you, Tim.
Thanks for the advice, mate.
Spreading myself a bit thin last night. I watched Married at First Sight replay.
I was going to say it wasn't on last night. The cricket was.
Kath had it on replay. You know,
cricket that bad that you watched a replay?
I don't do dead rubbers. I can't do a dead rubber in the cricket. We'd already lost that series. So I'm watching. Now, that show, as far as I can tell, is a man renovation show. You get a crumbling mess of a man that no one's prepared to touch, similar to The Block.
Oh,
and you come in and you have to fix it up. So it's usable again by women. Simon from Ipswich is the one I'm talking about. That woman has completely changed him. It's about women changing men.
Okay.
But in the first place, why haven't those chicks got blokes by the time they're in their 30s anyway? There's something wrong with them.
Look, you bring up many fine questions, but the point of it is that we're talking about it, and that is because The Married at First Sight has been proved to be very popular.
Love it.
And there you go. Robin says she loves it, and it is the, I read the other day in Media Dispatches that it is the number one genre of television now. Romance is the number one genre. So there's Farmer Wants a Wife, there's Bachelor, there's Married at First Sight, and they're now in the process of commissioning a whole bunch of new shows. Channel 7's got this new one coming out called Your Ex Is Back or something, where they get an ex. So they're going down that path. Hey. But the Clubhouse leader
SBS
at the moment,
is doing one too.
They had one called Just Undressed. I was like, well, that's just your movies. All you've done is taken away the subtitles. Like, that's actually what they've done. But Channel 9's not to be outdone. They were the Clubhouse leader, and I've got my hands on a secret promo for some of their wonderful shows, their romance reality shows they've got coming up.
Coming soon to Channel 9, the home of your favourite dating shows, Farmer Wants a Wife and Married at First Sight, come new programs that push the boundaries of romance. At 6:30, it's Farmer Wants a Toolie, The Bachelor, Serious Surprise. Then at 7:30, a double episode of Oh No, My Spouse is a Horse. Then at 8:30, it's Blindfold Sleeping Bag Grab Fest, Waleed at First Sight and Warnie's Photo Booth. And then up late, it's time for Up Short on the Beach, Let's Marry for Visas, Goonbag Up the Jacksie, The Fast and the Felching, and For Those That Like It Raw. After midnight, it's Divorce for Dummies and Two Zipporahs, One Jungle. All on your home of romance, Channel 9.
Caught all them.
What a night. Got the world's a weird place.
Why?
You think about first day of the first test in India starts today. Tonight, first night of Super Rugby. The sport is just year round, just keeps going.
And let's not forget, Marto, that the Australian summer of cricket officially finished last night with that third T20 against Sri Lanka.
And remind somebody whoever cares, Australia won the dead rubber. Well played. 2-1, a respectable loss. 2-1 series loss to Sri Lanka. What I want to talk about is rugby league. It starts next Thursday, the NRL.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a story in the paper about the referees have gone around and had a chat to the coaches, told them we're going to put more people in the sin bin.
So explain the sin. Okay, so the sin bin there can get sent off for how long?
10 minutes. And until last year, they never used the bloody things. Never. Rugby league just forgot to use the sin bin
but
last
year. They used
year.
To. Sorry, Marta, to cut in, but they used to. Remember, it's the most famous sin binning of all time was when Wally got some time in the bin in the Origin, and the beer cans are raining down.
What a night.
So what is the benefit of the sin bin?
Well, the benefit of the sin bin in any sport, and I love the sin bin, is it takes a man out. It creates opportunities for the team. If you want to have the dickhead who wants to spoil the game for everyone, in other words, be an annoyance, challenge the rules, foul play, you leave the field and you create an opportunity for the other team. That's when it opens up.
So what are the disadvantages of the sin bin?
Well, I don't. Marta and I are both in agreement if you look at other sports that use it more liberally, so ice hockey is one. They have when they end up having a power play, which is always exciting and often leads to a goal, which is very important.
That's right.
Water polo, Marta. They do.
Rugby. I'm a huge fan for. I don't know whether 10 minutes. Just take them out of the game for 5 minutes. If they want, they'll learn soon enough. If they do something again, send them off, or send them off for 10 minutes the second time, and then send them off the third time if they want to keep spoiling everyone else's game.
I reckon that someone said the soccer. I think this is. They keep thinking about changing the rules in soccer, and I think the biggest rule change they could make, which would make the biggest difference, would be the sin bin. So there's the yellow card, red card system.
You want to hack away at someone? I hate seeing that when they hack them down.
So what? Three sin bins and it's a yellow card?
No. I'd say the first one you get, I reckon the referee should have the choice. If they want to give the yellow card, they can give a yellow card. Or if they want to send you off for 4 minutes in soccer, that's great. That would be excellent.
Same with AFL. Imagine AFL is such a closely guarded, who's on who, the defences are so tight. If you want to do, those 50-metre penalties, if you want to do that instead of the 50 metres, you go and sit down for five minutes, mate.
Or two, even two. 2 minutes. Two's enough.
That'd create an opportunity.
Okay, you are building a convincing argument. Why haven't they done it?
They don't listen to this program, clearly.
I don't know. Ed, you did have a good thought, though, the carryover sin bin. I like this idea.
What? I've forgotten my own idea.
Righto. If you commit an offence, next...
Oh, I love this. Can I take it from here? Yeah. Let's say you
committed... I love it when you forget things. It doesn't happen often.
Let's say you committed a heinous crime, Robin, on round one, right? In that, I believe that you should be fine. For the next match, they suspend the player, but it means that you just put in somebody else. I believe that person stays in the squad, but you have to start the next match 5 minutes. The first 5 minutes, you're a player down.
You sinned.
Yeah.
Soften out period. Instead of you run on the field and you've got one player less to start the game. No one will do anything wrong.
Well, see, from the perspective of a parent who watches lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of football,
lots and lots of goals rather than disappointment.
Well, except, though, the thing about that would be that you would calm kids down who are getting heated.
That's good. Yeah, there you
go. Because, having had one of my kids get himself into a fair bit of trouble a couple of seasons ago, he would just get more angry and more angry, and then you get yellow carded, then you get two yellow cards, you get a red card, and then he'd be out for a couple of games. Whereas if you sin bin them, you just bring the level of frustration down.
That is a very good idea. While we're fixing soccer, can I suggest one other thing? Can somebody ring someone at FIFA with this one?
Okay, yeah.
Goalkeepers. No more. No more using your hands.
Stop it.
That's
ridiculous.
Turn his mic off.
How many goals would be scored?
We were going so well.
It would be such an exciting game if that bugger at the back would stop touching the ball.
You just ruined it. Marto, Ed and Robin, they nearly fixed sport on the new Triple M.
I overlooked what time of the year it was last night when I turned to Kath and said, what the hell's going on with the neighbours over the back? They'd gone a bit nutso. They were yelling and there was boxes. You could hear things being bashed and broken.
What happened?
Well, I've never seen a fire in February. What date are we? February 22nd. They were having a fire, a February fire. I've never seen it before. And I realised it's the rental house in our little block.
Sure.
It's over our back fence and down one at our place is a rental house. New renters just moved in. And then I realised, of course, uni starts Monday. It's orientation week.
Oh, it's O week.
So they've obviously gotten home from something and just had nothing to burn but wanted a fire at their new rental digs. They were laughing their heads off. They weren't doing any damage or anything, but a fire. That's O week. Mate.
That's O week.
And what are you going to see tonight, everybody?
Yes. Togas.
Toga. It's tonight's toga night. I don't know where they go now. We used to go, when I used to play footy out at university, they'd all come. You go, oh, it's that night. The Thursday before uni starts, they'd all go to the RE, I think.
Yeah, the RE or the Regatta.
Or the Regatta
all
in their togas.
Along Corro Drive, you'd find various disarrays of togas.
So their parents have sent them to uni. Next thing you know, they've ripped up a sheet and started wearing it. What says starting university? Why do you wear a sheet?
Easy access.
For the rest of the semester, you haven't got a sheet. or it's got beer on it.
It's going to be huge. My brother-in-law, he's 18. He started at uni. He's off to uni.
Any O week actions?
I heard from my mother-in-law yesterday saying that he joined the Italian club. Because I was like, he doesn't want to speak Italian. He goes, no, they have pizza nights. I said, oh, okay. He's joined beer appreciation. Right? Of course he's joined beer appreciation.
You can join all these societies and sporting clubs. That's what they
he's
do.
He's going to be a science student. So he joined the science club or whatever. Yeah. And then he got home and he'd been on a camp before O week or something. And he got home and yesterday and he said to said to my mother-in-law, hey, Mum, have you got any chisels? And she's like, oh, I don't know. I guess I could have a look in the cupboard. Oh, no, we don't. I'm sorry. He goes, no, it's a shame. And she's like, why? And he goes, oh, got about 25 people coming over tonight that I met at uni.
All your new friends.
Just need one pack of chisels.
Yeah, cool. Marto and Robin, just the new Triple M.
Man, penalty rates.
Yeah, this is going to be a really big deal today. Waiting to hear where the weekend penalty rates are going to be cut. But Claire, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm in our newsroom. Tell us what's going to be decided.
Yeah, this is a big one, Robin. 2 years in the making, okay? So tens of thousands of workers, but mostly those in retail, fast food, hospitality, those kind of industries, they're basically waiting on a decision from Fair Work Commission, okay? So they're the independent umpire, they're being called. The idea or the proposal put to them is to scrap Sunday rates and bring them in line with Saturday. So that's scrapping double time for time and a half.
So time and a half Saturday, right. So what are we working on? We're working on about $22 an hour, aren't we? So Saturday makes you $33 an hour at the moment, $44 an hour at double time on a Sunday.
So the union says it's disappointing, major draw card for workers actually getting out of bed on a Sunday for work. Good for uni workers, those kinds of things.
God, yeah.
It's about $66 that they'll lose for a 6 hour shift. So that's not even a long day on a Sunday.
That's a lot of money for young people. That's their pay for the week while they're studying, etc.
Okay, but I will take the side of the employer. That's also a lot of money that they're paying for a day that 30, 40 years ago used to be a sacred family day, but now with, you know, lots of businesses being open 7 days a week.
You know, Coles and Woolies don't pay it.
They
got enterprise bargaining agreements with their employees. So this, if they do drop it, there's two sides. I can see both sides. There's, if they do drop it, it'll help the smaller. Like I'm a mum and dad business owner, cafe or something or other.
Yeah, of course.
And sometimes I won't open on a Sunday because I can't pay the girl down the road who helps serve the coffee. I can't pay her $44 an hour.
So they don't open because they can't do it 7 days a week.
If they knock this back to, say, 33, they might be able to open and there'll be more happy days for little businesses.
Let's go to the phones.
Yeah, I don't know if it's good or bad.
Yeah, good idea or bad. Are penalty rates a good thing or, thank you, Claire, a good thing or a bad thing? If you're a business owner or perhaps you currently earning penalty rates and it's how you're sort of making ends meet. Students, maybe you employ people. Maybe you employ a few people and this would mean that you could employ more people if you didn't have to pay them such large penalty rates on Sundays.
But it's now a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week thing, the world.
Yes, it is. It is.
Rick from Eagleby, what do you reckon, mate? Good or bad, the penalty rates?
They're a good thing, right, for staff member-wise. Right, bad thing for employees. Because the way the world's going now, that customers want more service, right? And with the more service, of course, becomes more money for employers, right? So, a lot of little shops, as you guys were saying before, they can't open because of the money, the wage rate on the Sunday, where large retail companies can.
Yep.
Right, with large and small retail companies, I reckon if the penalty rates are scrapped, it would be a good thing because small shops can open and the larger retailers can actually serve more customers. Example, look at Woolworths and Coles. Yeah. Like, their worst day for a lot of staff members is the Sundays, right, because they have to pay the staff members time and a half. Right, so you got rid of that.
Are they on time and a half at the moment? Do you know that?
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
All right.
Whereas small businesses are on double
time. Right.
Well, that does seem unfair on the smaller business. Yes. Okay, Karen, what do you think? Are they penalty rates good or bad?
I think they're good and bad. I'm pretty sure at the moment that a lot of your retail stores do pay the penalty rates, but a lot of the places like McDonald's and your fast food people don't. Yeah, I just think that they have a good, it's good and bad, and they probably should keep some sort of penalty rate, but maybe drop it back a little bit just so it's fair on both sides.
How do they not? Like places like Grilled or, you know, those sushi places on a Sunday, do they not pay penalty rates?
As far as I'm aware, I'm not sure of all of them, but I'm pretty sure McDonald's and stuff like that don't.
Yeah, they do. They do a reduced. They've negotiated on a bigger level.
All right, so they've done that.
They don't get as much as like the retail people do. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
Fair enough, Karen. Gotcha.
Yeah, so this is for the retail industry, this drop.
Right. Yeah. Mick from Arachula, what do you reckon? Your partner works at a bakery. What does this mean to her?
Well, the getting paid the double time means that she actually will work the Sunday. And every time she wants to do something on the weekend and tries to get someone to cover a shift, she really struggles. Because a lot of these small businesses try and hire teenagers, and teenagers don't want to work weekends. They want to go out and party, which is what you do as a teenager.
Just remind me, I've never been in the world of retail. Do you not have to pay teenagers as much as you'd have to pay your partner?
No, no way.
Yeah, all right. It's all age. So you can start at 14, 9 months,
so
and then it
young.
Goes incrementally.
I never even thought about that, of course.
Yep.
No, and you've also got the... like what you said before, Marto, about the 24/7 society, from a kind of a union sort of standpoint, you wouldn't work on the weekend for the same sort of money just during the week, because not everything is open on the weekend. There's no doctors open on weekends, or very few. There's no schools open on weekends.
That's an interesting point, Mick. If you try and go to the doctor on the weekend, if there's a medical centre open, you know you're going to be paying extra to go there. Up. That's an interesting point.
But as a society, we have an expectation that things are going to be available to us whenever we want them.
That's what
online stuff does.
I've just realised why all the bakery workers, they're the boring teenagers, aren't they, who don't go out.
They're the hungover ones that have managed to crawl back from a nightclub and gone in at 3 a.m.
We've got time for one more. Kathleen. Kathleen from Birkdale, what do you reckon?
Hello. I think they should stay in and they could charge a surcharge, because customers are quite happy to pay the extra on a Sunday. I mean, I go for a ride every Sunday and the cafes are full all the time.
Do cafes charge extra on a weekend?
No, only public holidays.
Aha, that's it.
Only public holidays there's a surcharge. Yes. Oh, there's often a surcharge, but not on Sundays. I see what you mean, Kathleen. There's more. If we keep looking at the cafe example, there's just going to be more people around to go to them. So you think, all right, well, then maybe there's more margin to pay the staff more. But I bring up this one. What about these new world of jobs, things like Deliveroo and Uber Eats and those sort of things? You're not getting penalty rates out of, you're not getting penalty rates out of Uber, I would imagine.
No.
So work is changing, and maybe...
Yeah, maybe there's no such thing as a Sunday.
Well, it's interesting.
That's where we'll end up.
When the biggest church in Brisbane's Bunnings, we all know that, I think the world has definitely changed.
Well, 73% of people that just called up are actually for it being cut.
Oh, yeah. Cut, right, okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay, guys, if you think about it, the divorce rate is just above 50%. So that means that there's a huge amount of people.
Is it?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah.
There's a huge amount of people, mostly in their 30s and 40s and beyond, if you guess that the average marriage lasts between 7 and 10 years, that are potentially looking for new partners. And it has created such a massive industry, particularly now online, because going to a pub and catching up with people or going with your girlfriends and meeting blokes there was sort of 20 years ago.
It doesn't happen, does it?
It really doesn't. Now, a girlfriend of mine who's in her 40s, has two kids, has been looking to get back into the dating scene. And she's gone in with absolute gusto, put up a profile on a number of those dating sites. And went on Saturday night to meet one of the blokes that had said that he was interested. And they'd had, you know, a bit of communication backwards and forwards. And she said she should have realised there was a problem because he wanted a full-length photo of her. Anyway, they agreed to meet.
But clothed? He wasn't asking for a
nothing nude or anything
right,
like that.
Let me see your full length. Right,
yeah,
okay.
So
and had he sent her a full length? Like, had she seen a full length photo of him?
No.
Oh, he hadn't sent
her. No. And so he was demanding, and, you know, that should be a warning sign. Anyway, she turns up and is waiting at the bar, and he doesn't show. And so she's messaging saying, are you coming, are you coming? And he actually replied to her saying, I've seen you. You look bigger and fatter and uglier than any person that I've ever seen.
Oh, stop it. No.
He called her a toad.
Oh, stop it. No, just stop it.
Yeah, yeah.
This is horrible.
And then...
this is a scene that happens a lot,
I think. And she just, she was left at the bar and she got burst into tears, as you would. But I'm guessing now that these whole kind of keyboard warriors that can now hide behind, don't actually have to engage as a human, can then behave like that when there is the potential to meet someone. I just find the whole thing terrifying.
Oh.
I know, look at you guys.
That's, which one was it? I know a few Kath's girlfriends on that, Plenty of Fish.
That's it.
I don't know about that. Yeah. Seems to be for the late 30s, early 40s, whereas Tinder seems to be the younger ones. That's the real hookup one, where if you have introduced yourself to them once, you can then send a photo of your appendage if you're a bloke. Oh. That's pretty creepy as well. Like, that's a different sort of creepiness.
Does that ever work for anyone?
I don't think so.
I'm the only woman in this studio, but seriously.
I've never met a woman who said, I really want to see a photo of it.
I think Adam did a rock painting of it for Eve and she loved it, and that's where it started. Guys, which one has the most creeps?
Is that what you want?
We have to be real about this.
There's other ones, though. The grinders and bumblers or whatever they all are.
Bumblers?
Yeah. Bumbler.
Is there a bumbler?
Can you please explain to us what bumbler is?
Isn't that the gay one?
No, that's grinder.
No, that's grinder.
Oh, right.
That's grinder.
Well, bumblers are their word.
I think on the grinder, they kind of know what they're up for. Like, it just seems to be much more black and white. But I think with some of the others, that people are desperately wanting to find
a partner. Oh, they think they're going to find love.
Oh, yeah.
Shit.
Well, you know, it's a tough market out there.
Oh, bloody hell. Yep.
All right, let's give it both sides then. Which of these dating? Of course, you can remain anonymous. If you've had an experience or a friend of yours has had an experience, which of these online sites has the most creeps and why?
Girls might be creeps. It's not just blokes who are creepy.
It's okay, Marto. I agree with you.
Yeah, I just realised we're mainly focusing on men.
It's all right.
It could be creepy women.
Rachel.
Hello.
What happened?
Well, me and my now husband met online almost 4 years ago now. So,
which site? Was really, come on, give him a plug. Give him a plug.
eHarmony.
eHarmony. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Things seem to go all right, those mobs.
Yep. Yeah. No. But, it's we met 4 years ago. I was really hesitant about it all because I had a girlfriend who had a similar experience to Robin's girlfriend. The guy rocked up, agreed to meet her, stood her up after seeing her. So I was kind of, you know, a bit dubious about all that, but thought, what have I got to lose at the end of the day? And we got married May last year and coming up to our first wedding anniversary.
Well, congratulations. Well, Rach, that is really nice.
How much is it for something like an eHarmony?
I think it was about $40. I initially signed up on one of those free weekends just to have a bit of a squizzy and see what it was all about. Yeah. It was really intense sign-up process. Like, you have to fill in a lot of stuff, a lot of profile-type stuff. So it wasn't just, what are you looking for, how old are you? It was really quite intense. Mm. So I think people on that one would have to be genuine because you wouldn't waste your time on it otherwise.
Do you love watching Married at First Sight now, Rachel?
No, I can't stand that show. I just think it's ridiculous. I think it takes the meaning out of the whole marriage thing, and some of those people are just shallow.
Rach, if it doesn't work out between you and your husband, I'd love to marry you because you and I see things very similar way. Thank you, Rach. Okay.
Matt from Boondall, what do you reckon, mate? Have you seen some creeps?
I met my current partner on Tinder. When I was first sort of meeting people there, it was pretty horrendous. Spoke to them on the phone and, there's some really horrible people.
What makes them horrible? Like, what happened? They were just after one thing, or?
No. I just had some phone conversations with them, and a couple of them turned up, spoke up, and were clearly, off their heads on something. But just a little bit mental, really. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So there's a real range of personality types on there. Okay. Thank you, Matt.
So that was Tinder.
But that's interesting that he met a partner on Tinder.
Yeah, no, that's right. Yeah, current partner, he said too, which is always, that word current. You got to watch out for that word current.
What about, is it Terry from Daisy Hill?
Tony, good morning.
Oh, Tony.
How you going, guys? How are you?
Yeah, good. Tell us what happened.
Tinder definitely rocks the freak boat, for sure.
Okay.
Freak boat. Yeah.
What? And you're talking girls. I'd reckon there's usually more creepy, freaky blokes than there are girls.
I do hear that, but my experience was I went on there. I didn't know anything about it. I went on there, signed up. 5 minutes later, I get this inbox saying this from this girl. She's got a lovely young lady, obviously. Yeah. And she turned around and said, oh, where are you? I'll come and see you now. And it was like, so I just pushed delete and I was gone.
is that for a session?
Yeah, well, I'd say so. Wow. And don't get me wrong, I'm always up for sessions, but I mean, you know, you've got to at least know the person, you know. Yeah.
So forceful women on Tinder.
Hey, Tony, you could run a seminar on how to put profiles together, because if you're getting that type of action 30 minutes in, there are men.
What photo were you using? Yeah.
What was your picture?
Just a profile picture of myself, like just a photo. But, yeah, obviously there's a lot of thirsty people out there.
Thirsty for a sesh. Have
you ever been sent any naked photos, Tony?
Yeah, quite a few, to be honest. Yeah.
Tone?
Have you ever? The female kind, of course.
Has any girl ever asked you to send a dick pic?
Yeah, you get that all the time, eh?
They want to see. Yeah. Well, that's what Robin and I were sitting here doubting, whether there's any girl would ever want to see that, but they do.
Okay, did you ask for the naked photos of women?
No, they just sent them? No, they just send them. And they say, oh, if you like the look of this, you know, let me know or whatever, but so I did it for an experience, but certainly was an eye-opening experience.
How are you going now? You got a partner or anything?
No, mate, I'm single as a Pringle.
Great.
You can ring us anytime, Tony. I've enjoyed talking to you.
All good. I enjoy listening to you guys. You're awesome, mate.
Thanks, Tony. I've got to see a photo of Tony Stone.
Which one do you want?
Pants out.
After. The new Triple S.
I hope done. Some people you have to introduce and you don't know where to start. Well, this guy is a genuine rock and roll star. Six and out, one of the greatest bands of the last century.
I think what you mean is that our next guest played 76 tests, just the 310 wickets. He was the fastest bowler in the world for some time. That's not even second.
Second was Bollywood movie star.
Yeah, that's true. Brett Lee, good morning.
What an introduction. Thank you so much.
I didn't realise you were listening.
Interview's done. I'm finished. I'm happy. Thanks. Have a great day.
Yeah, let's not forget all the Weet-Bix work.
I don't know whether we will have a great day. It doesn't look too good. We've seen pictures of the pitch over there in India. What are they up to?
Yeah, well, look, it's every right to be scared, I think, and that's the Australian players when they go to bed this morning. But, look, it's going to be a flat wicket. It'll be low and slow. There will be a bit of bounce to the spinners, but there won't be any grass in the wicket. The thing I do know about the Indian conditions are it's going to be bloody hot, 36 degrees the next 4 days and 37 on the 5th, so absolute shocker.
Yeah, what's it like, Brett? Sorry, Robin. What's it like when you've bowled 20, 30 overs in a day in India or Pakistan or anywhere on the subcontinent? What's your body like when you get back to the hotel that night?
Well, you're pretty exhausted, and that's only when you sort of wake up in the morning, you open up the curtains and you see that smog through India.
Yes.
you know it's probably 33 degrees when you wake up in the morning. That will soon climb up to sort of high 30s, even early 40s. Yeah. Then on top of that, you go out and you bowl, you know, 20, 30 overs, and you're absolutely exhausted. You come home, there's probably 3,000 people in the foyer waiting for an autograph.
Don't they love it?
It's just relentless. But you know what? It's the best tour ever. They're the nicest people. It's incredible. Once you put all those things aside, and if you actually embrace it, you can have the time of your life over there.
Is that why you joined Bollywood?
Well, I don't think I had an option. Spending 20-odd years over there and doing a few little cameos here and there, it's a wonderful culture. They love their music. They love their cricket. And those two things have been, you know, part of my life growing up as well.
Hey, what would you do today? Sorry, another quick cricket question.
No, please.
Would we play three spinners, mate?
Look, it's always hard. When they go in and they talk about a four-pronged pace attack on seamy wickets, and then they talk about a three spinners and the subcontinent conditions, it's always a tough one. I think you have to have the side balance. I'd be inclined maybe not to play three spinners. Because I think that we've got enough all-rounders in there that can do the job.
Okay.
If a Maxwell gets his opportunity, he can obviously bowl a bit of spin as well. So we've got all, you know, bases covered. I want to make sure that our frontline spinner, though, with Nathan Lyon, stands up and does his job over there today.
This is the one, isn't it? He said yesterday that he was thinking about opening the bowling, which I thought was a stretch, but why not? Why not give Gary the ball?
They do it a lot, and, you know, they certainly do it through the shorter forms of the game, certainly with 2020 cricket.
IPL, which starts next month. So they'll be opening the bowling with a lot of spinners over there. But look, horses for courses, I guess, if it's a turning wicket. The thing with a fast bowler, the ball only swings for probably the first three or four balls because it's so abrasive, the wicket. So our job is pretty much is just to sort of bowl,
scuff up
hit the wicket, scuff the ball up, get it low and slow the ball, and then hopefully get some tail back in, which is reverse swing, probably the sort of 25th over. But the spinners are the ones that can do the job.
I just got to wake Robin up. Are you all right? Okay,
We love it. We love it, Brett. We can't wait. It's on today. You can see it on Fox Sports. And also, if you're wandering past the Triple M website, triplem.com.au, there's a great doco there called Vinda Losers, where some Aussies have gone over there to try and get to the bottom of why we always lose in India. Brett Lee, you're a champ. We'll speak to you soon.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Remember yesterday I brought something to the table about this Tesla wall that I'd heard about, and we had our tech expert on to say, look, it's essentially a battery that you put on your house.
He was really good.
And you charge it from overnight in the off peak, and then you use it during the peak time. So you see what I mean? That's a way of making it cheaper, and it made a lot of sense. And then we were talking about the cost, Marto.
It end up being about 17 grand?
Yeah.
And it takes you about 6 years. The savings takes you about 6 years to pay it off.
Because it was also you had to get the solar panels to make it work, so you had to invest in both of those things.
All right. Well, you didn't have to, Robin. You didn't have to. It could, because remember there was the guy from Sydney who had just the battery.
That's right.
And because he was charging in the off peak.
No, that's right.
He got it when it first came out a few years ago, and this year he's paid no power. This was the first year he's actually paid absolutely
and
zero.
No power bills, yep.
Anyway, we went to him and we thought, oh, okay, that was sort of interesting, and we had a chat about it after the show. And then one of our producers said, hey, listen, we've been contacted by a company called Redback Technologies, which are a local company which have developed similar technology based right here in Queensland. And Tim is from Redback Technologies. G'day, Tim.
G'day, guys. How are you doing?
I summarised what you guys do correctly or incorrectly?
No, yeah, you've got it on the head there. So what we are is a company that's based at the Long Pocket campus at University of Queensland.
Oh, yeah, near the golf course.
In between the two. And basically we've developed a product that is a smart hybrid inverter. So it works with batteries and with solar, with or without solar, to help customers decrease their power bills.
Now, the big issue that came up yesterday was that you then end up having to replace the batteries after a certain period of time, which could make it not as cost effective.
I was told that you pay for it within 6 years, but then after 8 years you've got to replace the batteries.
Yeah. So batteries do have a limited life. So what we're trying to do is increase the return on investment for the customer, so make the system pay for itself well and truly within the time that the batteries are warranted for. So we've achieved that with the Redback system. So we're looking at around a 5-year payback for a lot of customers at the moment.
So how much is it?
Depends on what they get, but the average customer is paying around $12,000 for a system, including solar panels and batteries and the hybrid inverter.
Is it more applicable to domestic or to big commercial use? I've got a factory, say, and, would it help me as well?
Yeah, so it can work with both. A lot of our customers use it on their houses, but also for a factory, because our system is a UPS, so it has an uninterrupted power supply. So if you lose power to the network, we'll be able to supply power within 10 milliseconds. So essentially you don't notice the changeover between grid and batteries.
I'm asking as someone who's not overly technically minded, how tough is it to actually use? Like, are you having to be on it every day to switch between certain things, or is it installed and then you're right?
Full auto.
Yeah, great question, Robin. It's automatic, so the customer doesn't have to do anything. They do have the ability to use our app to control the system remotely from work or wherever they may be. So they can turn on different appliances and things through our smart system. But if you want to stay away from it, it'll do everything for you and make all the decisions.
This is amazing. But how come we only hear about Tesla? How come I've never heard of you guys and you're here in Brizzy?
Yeah, so we try our hardest to get our name out there. And within the industry, we're well known. But Tesla seems to be a media machine as it is. So
is that because of the car, you reckon? Do you need a Redback car?
Possibly. I'd like to have one myself.
So, Tim,
that's not a bad idea.
I'm very interested in this, obviously, because I'm asking you all these questions. If my kids were to keep their air conditioning on, like, all day and have all my lights on, are you still going to tell me that I'll have zero power? bills?
Everything has a limit, but yeah, if the system's designed to your use, then you would definitely be able to get rid of your bill.
All right, Tim, from Redback Technologies, give us a website or something if people want to go and find out more, mate.
Yep, so redbacktech.com or 1300 240 182.
There you go. Local product which does with trying to halve your or get rid of your power bills. Marto and I are setting up a grow house, Tim. We'll talk to you off there.
Can you stop saying that?
Yeah, I'm not involved in that one. I'm really interested. I've just written down your website details, Tim, so thank you.
Great stuff. It's Marto, Ed and Robin, the new Triple M.
This Marto, Ed and Robin catch-up is brought to you by the unbreakable Toyota Hilux SR5 with satellite navigation and 3.5-tonne towing and trailer sway control. Search Toyota Value.